United States, Hassan Abdurrahim can just follow along. He's learning the hymns his new neighbors already know. And with his family at his side, sharing their hymns.
Hey, Michael.
Beautiful.
Morning.
Your daughter has a really
thank
pretty
you.
Voice.
Savoring a moment of peace he still can't believe is possible.
The first day when they took us to the prison, they beat us.
Pastors like Hassan aren't outlawed in his native Sudan, but Christians are an endangered minority. He says he lived with the possibility of prison every day. Of all the hardships, interrogations and tiny prison cells, Hassan says the worst was not knowing.
It was a very hard time for me thinking of my family because I don't know anything about them.
But even a 12-year prison sentence for espionage couldn't shake his faith.
No one told me that, but I have the peace. There's something going outside, but I don't know.
Far from Sudan, a Facebook post telling Hassan's story was reaching the right person.
I didn't know any better, so I got in my car with my letter that I'd written and drove to the Sudanese embassy.
It was the first time a member of Congress had spoken to the Sudanese government in 10 years. After a lot of work and a trip to Sudan, Garrett worked with NGOs to secure Hassan's release.
I commend the Sudanese government to the extent that they were willing to acknowledge that mistakes have been made in the past and that there's a need to reassess how religious minorities are treated. That's progress.
Hassan and his family visited Washington to see the man responsible for their new life.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, it's great seeing you guys.
It meant a lot to them and to the congressman.
You can love a bill. You can advocate on behalf of a bill. You can believe in a bill, but you can't say a prayer with a bill, have dinner with a bill, shake hands with a bill. And it was sort of surreal.
As strange as leaving the streets of Khartoum for Garrett's Virginia district, where five churches work together to set up Hassan and his family with a home on the farm of their new pastor, surrounded by fields where the family will soon see snow for the first time. So many changes, but all grounded by a father's certainty.
Even though it is hard for us to leave the country, but I think it is also better. I don't want them to grow there and then to go through a lot of difficulty that I went through it. So here I know, here they can have chance.
A chance made possible by churches and a congressman. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Cumberland, Virginia.
This is a special edition of Africa News Tonight. The United Nations Refugee Agency has initiated an innovative program to promote and nurture talent among refugees and asylum seekers in Kenya. It's called the Artists for Refugees Initiative. It aims to empower artists from Kakuma and Dadaab refugee camps in northern Kenya, as well as those residing in Nairobi. Ruben Chama reports for us from Nairobi.
That's Ugandan-born Mate Stevens, popularly known as Poison, performing recently in Nairobi. He acknowledges that he's gay. He says he was forced to leave his home country for Kenya following threats directed to him as a homosexual.
There's a law that was passed in Uganda against the anti-gay bill that was passed in Uganda, so I'm gay. So I decided to leave because they had passed it that if you're caught, maybe you leave or life imprisonment. So I saw that like as an harassment or unfair. I decided to flee to Kenya seeking for, I call it peace, shelter and whatever. and things, basic needs, because I couldn't get the services in Uganda since I was gay.
The East African nation passed legislation outlawing homosexuality in 2014, a move that received widespread condemnation from human rights activists and the donor community. Uganda, like most of Africa, is a deeply conservative society which terms homosexual acts as unnatural and illegal. Another refugee artist, Mahalet Ekube from Ethiopia, has lived in Kenya for many years. She says she fled her country as a young girl to escape political persecution.
Political instability, mostly, but I was so young, I did not know about the politics as much. Also, communication sometimes can be so hard, learning English and Swahili at the same time. Cultural shock, the culture is different in Kenya than in my country.
As a refugee, the 23-year-old university student has finally found her voice in painting.
I developed an interest in visual arts when I was young, at the age of 7, then proceeded till my teenage years and now to my early 20s with my parent.
And Dadaab refugee camps in northern Kenya. Dadaab is home to hundreds of thousands of people, mostly Somalis, who fled across the border following the outbreak of civil war in 1991. Many have lived there ever since. The UNHCR official says the program has been a major success.
We started that 3 years ago. We didn't know where it would go. But every year we see better quality, we see more artists, and we see how important it is for them, how important it is for refugees that we recognize their artists. And that's why I would say that this program has been a success.
The artists hold exhibitions where they can sell their art to Kenyans and to expatriates. They use the proceeds to support their work and to help their families buy food and pay for school fees. Ruben Chama.
Artisans in Mali are hoping that Bogolan, a traditional cotton fabric, will continue to fascinate Western fashion designers and provide jobs at home. VOA's Tafara Girma Tafara and Bagasi Kura visited a small neighborhood in central Bamako where artisans are hard at work. VOA Salem Solomon tells the story.
Outside a workshop in a popular Bamako neighborhood, Tumani Sadio and his employees are hard at work. They're making bogolan, one of Mali's best-known fabrics.
These are brand names like Louis Vuitton, Michael Kors, Gucci. We make all that in bogolan. You get the color you want. This was a white basin or polished cotton, and all these bogolan were white.
The bogolan, which means made of mud, is a handmade cotton clothing that is dyed in special tree leaves and painted with fermented mud. 35-year-old Sadio left his office job a few years ago to embrace the craft full-time.
I brought a lot of innovation to the bogolan. I created this business to give jobs to unemployed young men. I train them.
Malians have experienced a difficult decade, fighting Islamic extremists and dealing with ethnic conflicts. Artisans like Sadio are trying to provide opportunities for locals as tourism dwindled and businesses faced challenging times.
In the past, foreigners were coming and buying a lot of bogolan. Not anymore.
Sadio and his men hope that local demand for their work will rise as they wait for tourists to return. For Tafara Girma and Bagasi Kura, Salem Solomon, VOA News.
More than a million college-educated immigrants in the U.S. are in low-skilled jobs, according to estimates, but they have trouble finding work in their professions, including in the U.S. tech industry, which desperately needs skilled workers. A special technology industry job fair in San Francisco brought together refugees and new immigrants with potential employers. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
Job fairs are routine here in San Francisco, but this one is special. 50 new immigrants and refugees hailing from countries including Russia, Iran, and Eritrea looking for work. Khalid Turkmani is from Syria with a degree in computer science. For his first 9 months in San Francisco, he worked survival jobs, selling shoes, assembling furniture, developing websites for $10 an hour.
When you know, like, the same work that anyone else who's born here will get paid $50 an hour, it's like it was super painful. But on the same time, for me, like, work is work.
Turkmani, who has asylum, went through a program at Upwardly Global, an organization that teaches skilled immigrants and refugees how to search for a professional job in the U.S. Here, he learned about networking America style, and now is an IT project manager.
Here in the United States, you are expected to look directly into someone's eyes. And when you meet someone, you have to give them a firm handshake. All those show confidence.
Recent immigrant job seekers have to learn a new way to talk.
Rather, they say the team, we, the group, the company, the organization. But in the United States, that is very different. People talk about, I did this.
Ivan Vislov, a Russian immigrant at the event with his wife, expected tech jobs would be easy to find when they arrived in Silicon Valley.
We are professional product manager and business analyst in IT field. That's why we came to the San Francisco.
Vislov plans to follow up with Yelp, TaskRabbit, and others. And he plans to network at hackathons and job fairs. He has to. For Vislov, giving up is not an option. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
Now we'd like to take you back to a time of hope for many Rwandan refugees who fled to Europe to seek a better life before the genocide in 1994. This song is considered a classic from a Rwanda refugee. It became a symbol of pre-war Rwanda. It's a song of peace and happiness. Here is Umulisa. Thank you. And that wraps up this special edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.